I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So right at the top, we'll let you know that the Dodgers have a 1-0 lead on the Washington Nationals. It is the top of the seventh. Walker Buehler has exited the game, and Victor Gonzalez, the lefty, is now on for the Dodgers. John, latest on the Masters. You're the Masters guy. You've got that on.
It's still Justin Rose at 7-under. Really, most of the people on the course are not in it. Xander Schauffele is the only one still playing who's in the top 15. Victor Hovland's the only one that's still in the top 20. Almost everybody else is in the clubhouse, led by Justin Rose. And there's a young kid, Will Zalatoris, who's one shot behind. But other than that, almost everybody that's still out there is pretty much out of it.
It's so dramatic, the Masters, for me. It really is.
Well, your picks are not doing great, but Shoffley's still there.
So well, picking golfers, not necessarily my strength. All right. So, John, Charles Barkley did an interview with that Graham Bensinger kid. You know that Graham Bensinger kid?
Yeah, still going strong.
Still going strong. And Graham Bensinger asked Charles Barkley why he gambles. Okay, hold on. We're going to get it. Why he gambles. One moment, Charles Barkley.
What do you like about gambling?
Well, winning. It's exciting to win money.
Is that is it the winning that you like?
Yeah, it's
like
winning.
Okay.
You know, people out here, I hear all these people talk about you just like the action. No, I like the money, actually. And it always sucks when you lose, but it's a great feeling when you win. I think that the thing that I conquered about my gambling was I changed my mentality. I'm not trying to win a lot. I'm just trying to win. You know, Graham, I've won $1 million probably 4 or 5 times.
Wow. Well,
I won $1 million.
In a single day.
In a single day. But I've lost a lot more millions in a single day.
How many times do you think you've lost $1 million in a single day?
At least 10 to 15, somewhere in there. Like I say, I probably only won $1,000,005 or $1,006 times, but I've lost $1 million, somewhere between 10 and 20. I can't get an exact number because we're going back to the 80s.
Do you think it's ever gotten out of hand?
Yeah, no questions got out of hand. But I quit for like 2 years. And I remember talking to my friends one night, and they says, oh, gambling's not your problem. You're just an idiot.
So there's Charles Barkley. Can you imagine winning or losing $1 million on a day?
No, can't play in that league.
God,
I get mad if I lose $100.
Yeah, I mean, I always go into everything by my ATM withdrawal. Like if I withdraw, you're generally allowed to withdraw $300. So when I gamble, I take out $300. That's it. I will not go back to that machine, no matter what, the ATM machine. $300 is all I'm going to lose on any given day. Now, it doesn't mean I can't do well. Like, I've done well playing poker. I'm not a blackjack player, but I've done well playing poker. But there's just no way I'm going past that $300. I value money based on the way I was raised, right? I think that's the way people value money, the way you're raised.
$300 to you is probably comparable to $1 million to Charles Barkley.
Probably is.
I don't know what his net worth is, but it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, he's done great. Lindsay, what's the biggest amount of money you've ever had on a table or on a bet? Real money.
I play craps. I'm good at craps. I'll cash in like $50 and like I won't play more than like the $15 table. My friend Victor got me into craps. But otherwise, like, I'm the same way. Like, when I go to a casino, I get like physically and irrationally upset if I lose money. So I have to go into it with like, I'm going to spend $50. And a lot of the casinos that I've been to are the ones where they give you like free drinks or whatever. So I'll be like, well, I'd spend this much money going out to dinner or having drinks with friends.
Right.
So if I lose it, whatever. And that's about it. But
that's the best way to do it, is only gamble the money you can afford to lose. Like, once you start playing it, assume it's gone.
Now,
but then when I won a bunch of money on that online slot machine, then I gave a lot of that back because I was like, oh, if I could win $5,000 on an online slot machine, I could win a lot more.
What did Barkley say about the Clippers?
Oh, about the Clippers. Charles Barkley was asked about the Clippers, and here's what he said.
Well, let me tell you something, man. I've been poor. I've been rich. I've been fat. I've been skinny. I've been old. I've been in the Hall of Fame. And one thing I can always tell you, the Clippers have always sucked.
Oh, man. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Charles Barkley. Now, I'm going to challenge you, John. I don't think we've ever had Charles Barkley on the show. Am I right?
I've had him. I've had him on the show twice. Once with Ramona and once with Adande.
And I never have.
Correct.
All right. So that's one I'm right about. I knew I never talked to Barkley.
Yeah, I don't think you have. I know he's. I've interviewed him twice. I
poor,
see him
rich,
a lot.
Fat, skinny. The Clippers always suck.
You know, and I hope people appreciate how great it is to have a show like TNT.
Oh yeah.
And after, because Barkley's a great example. He couldn't say any of that stuff on ESPN. He'd be fired. A guy got fired at ESPN this week for doing, you know, when Charles got arrested for soliciting prostitution in 2008 while he's working for TNT. When they asked him about it, he goes, yeah, it was the best I'd ever had. And he didn't even get in trouble. You know, there's different walks for different, there's different strokes for different folks.
Right, we work for Disney. It's a company with standards.
Well, TNT is, I think it's the best pre- and post-game show ever created.
Completely agree.
Ever. I mean, and it's because Barkley, you never know what he's going to
say. Yeah, it's because Barkley, it's because Shaq, you never know. It's because Kenny's really funny when he goes behind his screen there. It's because Ernie's excellent at sort of moderating and keeping the ball bouncing in there. I mean, it's a state-of-the-art pre-game, post-game show. And I even like the Tuesdays, the Tuesday shows, which don't have Ernie generally. Didn't the Tuesday show usually have Candace Parker and Dwayne Wade and Shaq?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I like that combination, too.
Yeah,
I like the loose, sort of unformatted feeling of that show. Now, John Joe Hackinson. Actually, I'll read you what Joe Hackinson said next about the Clippers. Email guy. Plus, John, the Kardashians are really out of control. I will explain to you what they're trying to
do.
They
are not.
They are out of control.
How dare you?
That is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Okay, so I want to throw this at you, John. This is an email. By the way, you can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. You can also email John Ireland. What's your email address, John?
venicemace@gmail.com.
Got it. So this is Joe Hackinson. He says, hate to say it, but the Clips getting Rondo just might have given them what they needed to win the West and play Brooklyn to the finals. Rondo is exactly the calming and veteran influence Kawhi and PG need to push them over the top. Rondo just makes the right play at the right time. Everybody respects him. Is Joe Hackinson right?
First of all, you know Joe Hackinson. He's been on the show. He's a he's a former Major League Baseball writer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Joe,
so,
thank you. Great to hear from you.
So, he makes a great point here. I love that pickup for the Clippers. I don't know if it puts him over the top because Rondo's really, really good, and he's a great leader, and he was a big part of why the Dodgers won Lakers won the title last year. But your best players are the ones that have to carry you at the end of the day. And when they got into that Game 7 last year, the best players just disappeared. Kawhi and Paul George just were nowhere to be found. And so that's what has to put them over the top. I think Rondo was a tremendous trade. And I like Lou, too. I like Lou Williams.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to win a championship, Rajon Rondo is much more valuable than Lou Williams. And so that was a good trade by the Clippers. But don't you believe, Mace, that they're going to go as far as Kawhi and Paul George take them?
No question.
And
those are the guys.
Yeah, Paul George has never proven that he can be great when the chips are down.
Yeah, by the way,
matter of fact, he's gone the other way.
He's missed a lot of games this season. He's going to miss again tonight.
He's a great player, but he's using
the rest model.
He's never, you know, he kind of, remember when Barry Bonds for years and years couldn't get over the hump in the postseason?
Sure.
Clayton Kershaw for years couldn't get over the hump. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't. Both Barry Bonds and Clayton Kershaw did it. They got over the hump and had great postseasons eventually, and maybe Paul George will too. But until he does, I think that's a pretty big cloud over the Clippers. I mean, I'll roll with LeBron, who's been to 10 finals and has 4 finals MVPs. If he gets into a series against Kawhi and Paul George, I'm taking LeBron.
Yeah, give me LeBron. Give me LeBron. All we need is get those guys healthy.
But Joe's point is a good one.
Clippers will be the toughest challenge they face in the West.
Clippers have always sucked.
There you go. Clippers have always sucked.
They have. That doesn't mean they're going to now, but... I think a couple of things. Look out for Denver. They're very quietly coming. I don't think that Utah and Phoenix are terrible, and the Clippers are good too. I don't think the Lakers will breeze through the playoffs with a bunch of 5-game series like they did last year. Remember, they went first round 5, second round 5, third round 5, fourth round 6. I think the Lakers will be taken to 6 or 7 games on multiple occasions in the postseason, but I would still pick them to win it if they get their guys back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Blake Treinen now into the game in the 8th inning for the Dodgers.
Oh, no.
This is the 8th inning.
This is the 8th inning?
Dodgers with a 1-0 lead.
All right, now this is where you and I differ. I say if Treinen mows these guys down, all right, so let's say he gets a 1-2-3 inning here, all right?
Yeah.
Why not pitch him in the 9th?
No reason not to. They may.
Or Victor. Victor had a 1-2-3 inning, too.
Victor had a 1-2-3 inning, yeah. I mean, he could absolutely.
But no, he already pitched. He was in there in the 7th. But yeah, I would have, if Gonzalez had a 1-2-3 inning in the 7th, I would have put him out there to pitch the 8th. Now, unless these hitters have seen him and they're trying and quickly gives up a double. Yeah. I mean, like right when we're talking, he gives up a double. Wow. Now, where is Knebel? Or do we pronounce it Knebel? What
Knebel
do we decide?
Knebel has not pitched yet today. He pitched yesterday, gave him a clean inning yesterday.
Right.
I would imagine it's either going to be Knebel or Kenley in the 9th.
But, I mean, I would want Knebel in there now.
Oh, no, Blake Treinen's great.
He just gave up a double game.
But Blake, you can't pull a guy after one hitter.
Why not? That happens all the time.
It doesn't happen all the time. First of all, you've got to face at least 3 batters. That's number one. So he can't be taken out.
Oh, that's that new rule that they put in last year. That's
right. He's got to be in there at least 3 batters.
Oh, he can fake an injury.
Oh, God. Fake an injury.
Ooh, my arm.
I wanted to read you one. This is Chris Baker writing. Let me start by saying I'm a massive fan. Blah, blah, blah. Hope you're smoking that bowl.
Here comes Yeska, the
bite. Diehard Dodgers fan. No, this guy's got an interesting point. He says, I've waited my whole life to see the Dodgers finally win the big one, and I was absolutely horrified to see that the day they get their rings and celebrate the World Series victory, the game was going to start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm a union carpenter that gets off work at 2, so when I checked to see the start time, I was appalled. Big business decision to get ratings from the East Coast when this should be a West Coast celebration. Thanks a lot to the MLB for taking a moment that I've been dying to enjoy and making me watch the highlights after the fact. I can't believe this isn't even a big deal. I love your work. Please never stop doing what you do. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks for the laughs.
Okay, so this is an interesting point. Mace, remember that when you and I were growing up, the World Series was all day games. Remember that? That they didn't play World Series games at night.
Absolutely.
And by the way, Treinen just gave up a bunt single. So now there's runners on first and third. And nobody out. By the way.
This is the guy you want to close, by the way.
Here's a technical question.
Yeah.
If they intentionally walk the next guy, like let's say this guy steals second base.
Yeah.
So there's runners on second and third. If they walk a guy, is that Treinen's third batter? Would be,
yes,
wouldn't it?
It is. You got to face 3 hitters. Yeah. So even if he walks them.
But okay, going back to who's the guy that sent you the email?
That is Chris.
All right, going back to Chris
Baker.
Okay, going back to Chris's point. They eventually said we can't afford to play the World Series games during the day. And well, there's the steal I told you.
Yeah, about. Stole.
Oh, they got him.
They got him. Yeah.
They threw him out.
Yep.
So now
it's runner at third, one out.
See, had he pulled it off, had Robles been able to steal that base, they might have walked a batter, and then you could go to the pen.
Correct.
But to Chris's point, Mace, the one thing that the Dodgers have always protected is opening day. They consider it a tradition. You know, it's been going on since Koufax and Drysdale and even Jackie Robinson. So I think the Dodgers are going to, because they're clinging to that one piece of their tradition.
Yes.
They're never going to move opening day to a night game, but they could, and the World Series games are all at night now.
Or how about this? You keep opening day, and you do the second night as banner and ring night. Let's face it, the average working person this afternoon at 11:30, 11:45, couldn't see the ceremony, couldn't even watch it, couldn't be part of it. I mean, why not play if you're dead set on an afternoon game to start the year? Fantastic. Make Saturday night ring night or banner night when people can actually watch. Because it is, I do understand this guy's point. I mean, a regular working dude did not get a chance to see this ceremony.
Yeah, and it was
really cool, by the way.
What baseball does too is they have getaway days. So if you have a 3-game series, the team that needs to get away and get on a plane, they'd make the third game a day game.
Yes.
I get that, but that's not what this was. This was just opening day for the sake of opening day. They easily could have started this game at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. All right, so the Dodgers in a jam. It is the top of the eighth inning. Blake Treinen is on the mound. There's a runner at third with one away, and the Dodgers holding on to a 1-0 lead in this season opener. Very, very tough spot for Blake Treinen. We'll keep you up to date on that. And coming up next for you, hey, we're giving away a $100 gift card to Roger Dunn Golf Shops. Here's how you win. Jump on the phones, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. John's got a stupid little golf game for you, and somebody's going to win a $100 gift card to Roger Dunn. Swing by Roger Dunn Golf Shops and get custom fit today. And shop them online at worldwidegolfshops.com. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So last night was the big shaky league fantasy baseball draft, and I reached a point where I was faded, John. I was faded, and at the very end of the draft, I said, screw it, just auto-pick for me. So it went ahead and it auto-picked an entire pitching staff for me. So I've got my work cut out for me. Lindsay is in the league now. She just fell sound asleep in the middle of the draft.
Sounds very exciting.
It was.
I mean, it was like 5 hours long.
It was gripping. It was gripping. No, it's a really great league. You'll find out, Lindsay, it's filled with sharks. Be careful. Filled with sharks. All right, so we're giving away that $100 gift card to Roger Dunn Golf Shops right now. John, you've got a dumb little game you're going to play?
Yep. Who you got, Mace?
Let's go to David in Santa Clarita. David, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Excellent.
Good, David. Okay, so here's your question. Last November, Dustin Johnson broke the Masters scoring record with the lowest score ever, 20 under par, 268. What's the record for the highest winning score? So was it 10 under, 5 under, even, over? What's the record for the highest winning score? David, take a guess.
Ooh, it's a guess because I know nothing about golf. I'm trying to win this for a kid who likes golf.
Okay, just guess.
I'm going to say 5 under.
5 under. Okay. Who's next, Mace?
Let's go to Kevin in Camarillo. Kevin, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good, Kevin. Hey, Kevin. Highest winning score at the Masters. Dustin Johnson was 20 under. He was the lowest winning score. What's the highest winning score?
the highest winning score, I'm going to say it has to be like plus two or.
Okay, you're going two like over?
Two over.
Okay.
Okay, two over.
All right.
Let's go to Connor in Pacific Palisades. Connor, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Hey, guys, I got your answer. Let's go plus one over, please.
All right, one over. And who you got left, Mace?
Carlos in Mid-City. Carlos, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, dude.
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, he just took my answer, one over, but I'm going to go with three over.
Three over. Okay.
Three over.
Carlos, you were right. He did take your answer. Connor hit it on the number. It's happened three times. One over par. Is
as bad as it's gotten.
The highest winning score. It's happened three times. Sam Snead, Jack Burke, and Zach Johnson all won the Masters. One over 22 shots different than Dustin Johnson's winning score in November.
Wow.
And this year it looks like it's going to be somewhere around 10 under. But Connor is the winner.
Excellent. By the way, Dodgers have now retired the Nationals. Dodgers have been retired by the Nationals in the eighth inning. That means we go to the top of the ninth. Closing situation for the Dodgers. They're up 1-0, and that is Corey Knebel down.
I knew it. You and your 35 saves for Kenley Jansen. Ha!
You know what my backup is? I drafted Corey Knebel to my fantasy team.
Oh, that's good.
So there's a win there somewhere, but it looks like it's going to be Knebel in this save opportunity today. Okay, so I wanted to God, I don't even know if there's enough time for this. I'm going to do it. There was a picture sent out of Khloe Kardashian untouched. In other words, no Photoshop or anything, in sort of a bikini shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was put out inadvertently, I guess, by her publicist or whoever operates her social media. And this thing started to spread like wildfire, and people had opinions, and Khloe looks great, or Khloe looks this, or Khloe looks that. Then all of a sudden, Kris Jenner says, hey, that photo wasn't supposed to be going out, so we are withdrawing it. If you have it and you post it, we will seek legal action against you. Who's in the wrong here?
Mace. Have you not figured out the Kardashians' MO yet?
What?
Kris Jenner is a genius. She is a marketing genius. If she doesn't say anything about that picture, nothing happens. Instead, you're reading a story about a called back picture. These guys send out 200 pictures a day. Do you think she really cares? She's looking for a lawsuit.
Right,
She wants the publicity.
But you can't go out and sue people who happen to repost or post your picture.
I don't think she's going to sue people. You took the bait. You did the PR for her. You read the story on a sports radio show. The Kardashians do this all the time.
So you think I'm just getting trolled.
Lindsay, would you please jump in here? This is exactly what Kris Jenner knew would happen.
I don't know, because I just feel like the fact that they're trying so hard to get this picture scrubbed from the internet.
Have you guys looked at the picture?
I think.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not
It's totally fine.
There's nothing wrong with the picture.
It's fine.
No,
but
why are they recalling it?
It's
because they want the attention.
But this is like the boss we had who used to send an email every week summarizing everything happening at the station. And then he would send it out. Then he would say recall because there was a mistake in it.
Right.
And then he would resend it. And the whole game was let's go back to the original one and find the mistake.
Right. That guy was just a knucklehead.
You can't recall a photo.
Yeah, exactly. And she knows that. So now the headline on if you Google Khloe Kardashian, look at what comes up. Hundreds of stories about this over the last 2 days. As soon as I looked at the picture, I went, they're at it again. They're getting tons of publicity. They're great at this. They're maybe better than anyone ever.
Yeah.
That story you read the other day about how
I don't know.
Kylie wasn't really a billionaire.
I think they're really grasping here. I think they're really grasping. You can't and she's got an attorney lined up and all
that
stuff.
Of course she does.
I mean, yeah.
And by the way, this is all.
But what do you mean? Like what do they need the publicity for? Like it's not.
Lindsay.
I think it's bad publicity because
what
Khloe said. She said that in her whole life, every morning, every day, every hour, people are criticizing the way that she looks. And
I read
somebody
her whole
who's,
post.
Who's,
she's
who's
become,
been
She's become a completely sympathetic figure in all this. And by the way, guys, this is the final year of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
It's the final season of their TV show. All of this is going to play out on TV.
All right.
I don't know if she's completely sympathetic. I think it's split down the middle because
I don't think she's sympathetic
for her being
at all.
Somebody who's she's all like body positivity and love yourself and all that stuff, but then she's saying I can't have a picture of me unedited on the internet. Heaven forbid.
You're gonna watch this. They're gonna get three episodes out of this.
You guys fell for it. Done.
Three episodes.
Jorge,
I will not.
Jorge, you know what I'm talking about, right?
What I'm talking about, man. Exactly.
Do you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
I don't. But you guys fell for it. John is 100% right on this one. You guys fell for it. We're talking about it, aren't we?
I disagree.
I guess we are.
That's it.
We are. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is my game today. As, by the way, the Dodgers have a 1-0 lead on the Nationals. There is one away in the top of the ninth. And on the mound, I'm pretty sure I got that right. That's Corey Knebel, right?
Yep. And he's already got one out, one strikeout, and two more outs, and the Dodgers win.
All right, so Corey Knebel with the save op. We'll keep you up to date with that. Plus Game of Games coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 7:10 a.m.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But first, a celebration. Opening day in Dodger Stadium. Victory. The Dodgers win on a Justin Turner solo home run off of Joe Ross. The Dodgers get the win. Walker Buehler gets a no decision in this game, although he pitched really, really well. Corey Knebel with the save on the day that they unveil the banner and hand out the rings for unveil the pennant and hand out the rings. The Dodgers are victors on opening day, and there are fans there. It was fully in attendance. I'm trying to think, what is the full attendance? The 15,000
11,000 sold out.
Yeah, there you go.
Mace, can I pick a bone with you really quick?
Oh, sure. Pick away.
It's home opener, not opening day. Opening day was Thursday.
Home opener. Thank you. Thank you. Nitpicking me.
Really? I hate when people call it opening day.
Yeah. Apparently. I hate when people correct me. All right.
I know.
Back to Game of Games. It is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116. Visit powerproplumbing.com. Here we go. It is my game today, and it is called the birthday game. I'm going to give you somebody who's celebrating their birthday this week and a fact about them. You tell me if it is real or if I made it up. So it's fact or fiction.
Okay.
Ireland, you could play Lindsay Jorge. Dennis Quaid turned 66 this week. Although he has been nominated for two Academy Awards, his greatest disappointment was when he was not recognized for playing his friend Jerry Lee Lewis in the movie while Lewis was still alive. The movie was called Great Balls of Fire. Is that fact or is that fiction, Ireland?
I'll say that's fact.
Fact. Lindsay?
I'll say fiction.
Fiction. Jorge?
I'll say it's fact.
It is fiction. Dennis Quaid has never been nominated for an Academy Award. So it is Lindsay 1,
what?
Ireland nothing,
never
Jorge
Academy
nothing.
Award? You mean that movie, whatever he was in, wasn't nominated?
Yeah, nope. The movie that whatever he is in, he did not get nominated. All right, so it's Lindsay 1, everybody else yet to scratch. Lil Nas X turns 21 this week. His single Old Town Road holds the record for the longest running number one hit in history. Is that fact or is that fiction, Lindsay?
I think that's true.
Fact. Jorge.
Fact.
Fact. Ireland.
Sounds true. I'll go true.
Yeah, 19 weeks at number one. That is the all-time record, according to Billboard. All right.
Wait a minute. Didn't Michael Jackson have a song?
An album.
An album for 37 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Correct. An album. This is a single. All right. Next one. Hugh Hefner's birthday would have been this week. He would have been 85. His first wife was Millie Williams, and before the wedding, Millie told her that she had had an affair when he was gone in the Navy. He described it, to the end, as the most devastating moment of his life. Is that fact or is that fiction, Jorge?
Oh, I'll say fiction.
Fiction, Ireland.
Oh, Hugh Hefner is a very sensitive man. I think that's an absolute fact.
Fact. Lindsay.
I watched the documentary on him, and I think it's a fact.
It is a fact. Ah. Yes, his first wife did cheat on him, and it was devastating. Lindsay, 3. Ireland, 2. Jorge, 1. By the way, proving that there's a documentary about everything. All right. Actor Zach Braff is 46. He passed on Scrubs 3 times because he was making independent films. Finally, John C. McGinley showed up at his door and told him he had to do the show. John C. McGinley is his brother-in-law. That's how Scrubs actually happened. Is that fact or is that fiction? John?
I think you completely made it up.
Made it up. Ireland. Or Lindsay?
I'll go fiction as well.
Fiction. Jorge?
With the crowd. Fiction.
Fiction is absolutely right. I completely made it up. I have no idea how he got the series Scrubs. So it's Lindsay 4, Ireland 3, Lindsay 2.
Jorge.
Next one. TikTok star Matt Scharf turns 22. He's famous for lighting his farts using matches on TikTok. And in his most famous post, the drapes in his room actually catch on fire. Is that fact or is that fiction, Lindsay?
I'll go fact.
Fact. Jorge.
Fiction.
Fiction. Ireland.
What did Lindsay do?
Lindsay fact. Went fiction.
I said fact.
Oh, she went fact.
You said fact.
I need to catch up to Lindsay, so I will go fiction.
It is fiction. I totally made it up. There is some guy named Matt Scharf, but I don't know him to light his farts. All right, so it's Ireland 4, Lindsay 4, Jorge 3. Jackie Chan, 66 this week. In the movie Dragon Lord 100, he kicks the asses of exactly 100 men. Is that fact or is that fiction, Jorge?
I'll say fact.
Fact. Ireland.
I'll say fiction.
Fiction. Lindsay.
Fiction.
Fiction is the correct answer, yes. Dragon Lord 100 is not a movie. All right, Ireland 4, Lindsay 4, Jorge 3. May wind up with the tiebreaker here. All right, Kristen Stewart turns 30. Although we think of her as that character from Twilight, she's actually a serious actress and won the prestigious César Award for her performance in the French film The Clouds of Maria. Is that fact or is that fiction? We will start with you, Ireland. Fact or fiction?
I'll guess fact.
Fact. Lindsay, what do you guess?
I'm going to go fact.
Fact. Jorge?
I'll say fiction.
Fiction. The correct answer is fact. She did win a César Award for her performance in the French film The Clouds of Maria, which means we need a backup.
A tiebreaker. Jorge, you're out of it.
Yeah.
And Lindsay and I are moving on.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, that movie, Clouds of Maria, Sills Maria.
Yeah.
What is the exact Rotten Tomatoes score for that movie? Well, let's make it closest without going over. Ireland, you go first.
What is the, like, now there are two Rotten Tomatoes scores.
I'm talking about the critic score. The critic score for the Clouds of Sills Maria, which is the movie that Kristen Stewart did.
And she won an award for it?
She won.
You're taking
Caesar
an awful lot
actor.
Of time
you are,
here
you're,
for a very simple question here, John.
Are you Googling?
I'm not. I've never heard of this movie. Lindsay's going to either go high or low on the number I give her.
Stalling quite a bit here.
Why are you stalling so much?
I don't know the answer. 50%.
50%. Okay. Lindsay?
I'm going to go 78%, Bob.
78%. You only had to go to 51, but you went to 78. The correct answer, 90%, which means Lindsay.
Great film. I mean, she won awards for it, right?
The critics had 90%?
Yeah, and this movie, it was actually a good movie. I saw it.
What was the audience score?
65%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's normally the reverse, right?
Yeah, normally, well, it depends.
No,
it depends.
I feel like with a lot of these movies that win awards, people don't, like, the general public doesn't always like them.
Well, apparently that was the case with this one.
By the way, I
don't
was
you agree, Mace?
After I saw Godzilla vs. Kong, I wondered what the Rotten Tomatoes score was, and I went back and found it.
Those monkeys.
Mace and Ireland monkeys. I'm telling you, they're all over the scene.
The
some of them are
Ireland
as big as trash
one
cans.
Mace and Ireland.
That's probably my favorite clip ever.
So Godzilla versus Kong. Guess what the critics say about Godzilla versus Kong?
I would say the critics don't like it. I would say the critics are going like 40%.
Lindsay, what do you say?
I think, yeah, I think the critics probably, it's probably even lower than that.
Okay, Jorge?
60% critics. Yeah, I hated it, but I'll say critics
75% positive reviews.
Now, was the audience higher or lower than that?
Higher, 92% wow.
Oh, now I have to watch
obviously,
it.
Jorge did not vote.
By the way, hey, by the way, Mace, what is the statute of limitations for when you can tell me who won?
Who won?
The fight, Godzilla or Kong. I mean,
I think you got to give it like 2 weeks.
You think 2 weeks?
I give it another week. It just came out.
Yeah, I think it's been out for 2 weeks.
No, it came out last week.
All right, Mace, when you get back from vacation, you're taking another very well-deserved week off.
Vacation, yes.
Even though I don't think anyone at the station has taken any time off since you took your last vacation, so you need to get this one in. When you get back, you got to tell me who won between.
I definitely will. I will fill you in on the details. I'm going to do the professional thing we like to do here on the show. We'll ask the question, what is the out time?
For Shizzle Dizzle.
53.50.
53.50. There you go. 53.50. That's a little inside radio for you. So Dodgers win their opener. Great news. 1-0. They'll face the Nationals this weekend. Then they get the Rockies after that. In this homestand, they handed out the ring ceremony. Now, they're going to replay that at some point tonight. And if you have Sportsnet LA, and I think most people do now, it is a really cool ceremony that you can go back and watch. Even though it's not live, it's really, really cool.
By the way, Masters update. Matthew Wolf, who's a guy with a real – he's got a real quirk in his swing. You should copy his swing, Mace, for when you play me. Matthew Wolf has a big hitch in his swing. He just got kicked out of the Masters for signing an incorrect scorecard.
Oh God, I hate that. That's another stupid.
By the way, you can't do that either. If you write down the wrong score.
So wait a minute. The guy who got penalized, he signed the scorecard because he thought that was his score, and then they changed it after the fact.
You're not allowed to do that.
I think that's a stupid rule. Just look on the TV monitors to see what the score is. I don't care what you write down on your little card.
Yeah, by the way, I don't even know
what
why they
have. What a stupid, antiquated rule that is.
I don't even know why they have scorecards. Everybody's watching the stupid thing.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you don't have to keep your own score if you're a Laker.
No, you don't have to know if you're on the verge of a triple-double. You don't have to keep track of that yourself. There's like a scoreboard and a scorekeeper, and that's what there is at the Masters. That's why the signing of the card is just a stupid thing. Stupid. All right, so coming up for you, Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Make sure you stay here for that. I'll step out for a week and be back after next week. Lakers Sunday against Brooklyn, big game. John
Saturday.
Will have the call of that. Saturday, big call of that. Make sure you're back here Monday for Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.